This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a blessing to you. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, you can do so through regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. And remember, this program can be re-listened to on my website, and there's a lot of information on the website that you might find helpful, including a weekly meditation that I try to update and send out by email, but you can read it on the website. Now, today we want to complete our series on the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament. We want to complete our series on Peter's last words when he said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we've been looking at these Old Testament prophecies, we've been trying to understand who the Lord really is. And, of course, one of the ways we can do that is by looking at the prophecies that were fulfilled with regard to his first coming. We could also spend a great deal of time on the biographies found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, his miracles, as well as his parables and his teaching. And we've done some of that already, but we've been looking at the fact that the Lord's coming into this world was not a chance occurrence, and the Bible is not a book that is filled with myths. It is a well-documented book having to do with internal proofs that the Lord is, in fact, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And not only did he come the first time, but he's coming again. And when he comes again, those who are saved are going to be taken to be with him. We call it the rapture. And those that are not saved are going to be left behind for a terrible time of judgment on this earth. And the majority of the unbelievers that go into the tribulation, or at least a great many of the unbelievers that go into the tribulation, will die in the tribulation. And their eternal destiny will be found in the book of the Revelation. It's called the Lake of Fire. So it's very important that we come to grips with the truth of who the Lord is. And when we trust him, then we want to be like him. That is, we want to be like the man of the New Testament. Many people want to be like the God that they perceive in the Old Testament, but the Lord himself tells us that we're not to put new wine into old bottles, nor are we to sew new cloth or mend old cloth with new cloth. And he's really saying that the Old Testament cannot be used in New Testament times as the guide for our life. We need to recognize that we are in a new dispensation and we have new wine, and this new wine brings joy because it's a wine of mercy, it's a wine of grace, it's a wine that never violates the truth of God that sin must be judged. And so when we come to the New Testament, we want to grow in grace. That is, we want to be like the Lord Jesus if in fact we have trusted the Lord Jesus. Now, we've looked last week at the resurrection, not really looking at the series that we've been looking at with regard to prophetic fulfillment so much, although there was prophetic fulfillment, obviously, in the resurrection. But we've been looking at the fact that the Lord is living and he's coming again. And this time we want to complete this series by looking at the fact that the Messiah was prophesied as a sacrifice for sins. And of course, we've really been looking at that over and over again with regard to many of these prophecies that were fulfilled. Last time we noted that the Lord would be, the last time we dealt with this series, we noted that the Lord would ascend to heaven. And we noted that Stephen saw him sitting at the right hand of God. And of course, one of the prophecies has to do with the fact that the Messiah would be seated at God's right hand. And so in Psalm 110, verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." So there's a day coming when the enemies of the Lord are going to be the ones that he sets his feet on and that he is ruling over. But I just want to leave us with this thought as we leave this series of prophecies. I want to leave you with the fact that if you didn't have anything in your Bible except Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, you would know enough so that you would be able to go to heaven. You'll remember Psalm 22 deals with the way the Lord would be crucified. They pierced my hands and my feet. And you'll notice that the strong bulls of Bashan compassed him, and dogs were involved in his crucifixion, the dogs being the Gentiles. The strong bulls of Bashan probably dealing with the Jewish leaders that were bullying the Lord. It may have to do actually with Jews. It really has to do with the bullying of the Lord. And so we see the sufferings of the Lord in Psalm 22. And the reason I like Psalm 22, which starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reason I like that is because much of what was written by David in Psalm 22 did not apply to David himself. It could only be seen as applying to the Lord Jesus, and it was written over 1,000 years before the Lord came into this world. And so it had to do with his first coming and his rejection. But I like Isaiah 53, and I'm not going to read all of it, but you could start at verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord being the arm of the Lord, that's the arm of power, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And as we conclude this series, I have to ask that question, who has believed our report? And so when we come down to verse 5, we read, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. The iniquity goes to the very personality associated with sin, the perverseness, the wickedness of sin. He has laid that all on the Lord Jesus. And so when we come to the cross, and when we look at the cross, we realize that the reason there was so much sorrow at the cross was because of the sin that the Lord was bearing. We don't understand how sin has grieved the heart of God. And when the Lord is rejected, that's the ultimate slap in the face of the Lord Jesus, a slap in the face of God who gave his son. It's the ultimate offense. And so we can begin to understand why there was so much sorrow at the cross. And friend, that rejection of the Lord Jesus is a sin that cannot be forgiven. It will take a person after they die into a place of separation from God forever. The Bible talks about the place of the unseen state, and it talks about the lake of fire. It talks about Gehenna fire. It talks about outer darkness. And all of these things are pictures of what it means to be away from God. And Luke 16 makes it clear that a person, even before the Lord died at the cross, who died rejecting the claims of Jehovah, they ended up where that worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. The rich man who died and went to hell, and hell, he lift up his eyes, surprised no doubt that that's what happened. He couldn't even get a drop of water to quench his torment. He says, I am tormented in this flame. So when we look at the sufferings of the Lord, it was to save us from what we deserve because of our sin, and his suffering was great. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment of our peace, the punishment that brings us peace, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now we know that we have gone astray. Satan has led us astray. He has used people to lead us astray. Our own natures lead us astray. And as we have looked at the political system of the last few years, we begin to realize how all of us have been, so to speak, suckered in by false news reports. And you probably feel that certain reports are false. I feel that other reports are false. But we know that we're finding out that the political leaders, those who were running for office, knew how to manipulate all of us so that we would think a certain way. And Satan does that with every one of us. He wants us to think a certain way. He wants us to believe that Christ was an imposter. And if he can't make us believe he was an imposter, he wants us to believe that he was a fiction. And if we can't make us believe he's a fiction, he wants us to believe that if we trust him, we'll be cursed and not blessed. He has all kinds of ways to try to lead us astray. But the Lord did not come to lead us astray. He came to save us. And Romans 5 and 6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, those who had been led astray, those who were sinners. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We don't have to get good to get saved. We have to recognize we need salvation and trust the Lord, because the Lord took care of the punishment that our sin deserves. By his stripes, we are healed. If we aren't healed physically, we are at least healed spiritually. And so, dear friend, the Lord has fulfilled these Old Testament prophecies, and you can depend on him. Now, when you look at these prophecies, you couldn't have all of these prophecies written over so many years by so many people being fulfilled when the Lord came the first time, according to the writers of the New Testament, unless God himself had designed this plan of salvation, unless Christ was who he claimed to be. It would take a fool to say that there is no God. It's a fool that would say that all that the Bible has to say is nothing more than moral literature, and it's a fiction when it comes to what it presents to us. Friend, that would be a fool who would take that attitude after studying these prophecies connected with the Lord Jesus. And I hope you understand that the Lord did come in love for our souls. He came to save us from a lost eternity. And I'm just going to close again with the words of Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And friend, you can trust that. And if you trust that, you'll be in heaven. You can take that promise to the bank. And I hope you have. And if you haven't, I hope you will. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened and upon this series of prophecies that we've studied, these series of radio programs that have emphasized what the Lord has done for us. We just thank thee for thy love. Pray for thy blessing upon our listeners, in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. And we do thank you for listening.